So Asara Batavis is ending. So actually what I want to do is I want to do two things. I want to combine two different things. We're going to talk about, we're going to give a biography of a Gadol B'Yisrael who's not so well known, but should be more well known. And then we're going to tie that into to the Holocaust and how it reflects on Asara Batavis and a lesson that we are taught by this Gadol son. So we'll try to fit this all in the next few minutes. So Rav Aaron Walkin was born in 1865, and he became one of the leading rabbanim in Europe in his time, and one of the greatest teachers of Torah in Lithuania and Poland before he was killed by the Nazis. Now, when he was younger, he studied in the town of Vyshnitz, and he was among one of the most prominent disciples of the Netziv when he moved to Volozhin. Rav Chaim Kamil, who was Rosh Yeshiva of Mir in Ofakim, so he's quoting the Sefer Imre Chaim that he heard from Rav Baruch Ber, the Bircha Shmuel, who said that the reason why Rav Aaron Walkin became a Gadol B'Yisrael is because every year on the yurt site of the Netziv, he would cry so much that his eyes would be red. And Rav Chaim Kamil went on to explain that, I mean, he adopted and he learned from his Rebbe, the Netziv, in such a extreme way. He was so close to him that every aspect of his personality, of his lessons, of his Torah, permeated his neshama. And he took so much from his Rebbe, the Netziv, that it became a part of who he was. Later on, he went to study in the Kollel of the Purushim in Kovna, the famous Kollel. He became very close with Rav Yisrael Chanan Spector. And at 30, he went to his first community in the small town of Gorzad. Gorzad was the town that Rav Itzel Panovich, or Rav Yitzhak Rabinovich, who went on to become the rabbi of Panovich, left. So Rav Itzel Panovich left to go to Panovich. And then Rav Chaim Walkin took over his position later on. And in Gorzad, he became known as an amazing darshan. He became known for his oratory skills. He became famous throughout Europe because he was such a good speaker. And they record, his son, Rav Shmuel Walkin, records that he was such a good darshan that there were times during the drasha on Shabbat Shuva, they would have to stop the drasha because people fainted from the intensity of his drasha. That's how famous he was. And there's actually a letter that's printed in the introduction to the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron Walkin's Chiddush Mangitin, a letter from Rabbi Soloveitchik. And everybody here knows that Rabbi Soloveitchik was an amazing darshan, an amazing speaker. So listen to what Rabbi Soloveitchik said about Rav Aaron Walkin. Mi shelo sham es dvarav hachotzim lahavos eish. Whoever had not heard the fiery words of Rav Aaron Walkin, mitoch kal tzafuf hasocheku bocheh, sitting in the congregation that was both laughing and crying. He had going by all emotions when he spoke. People were laughing and crying when Rav Aaron Walkin spoke. Yachad, lo shama darshan mochiach miyamav. Never heard a darshan. You never heard a darshan speak unless you would have heard of Aaron Walkin. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik, who people say the same thing about him, speaking about somebody in the previous generation. In 1905, he becomes the rabbi of Shud, and in 1908, there's a fire in Telz. So as a favor, he travels with Lazar Gordon, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, to London to collect money. They are incredibly unsuccessful. Nobody wants to give them a penny. Rav Lazar Gordon is so distraught, he has a heart attack, and he dies in London. So Rav Aaron Walkin is engaged. It was in Manchester at the time. He gives a hesped for Rav Lazar Gordon, and the hesped is so amazing that they want him to stay to become the Av Basin of London. He says, I can't, I have to go back, and he goes back to Europe. In 1912, he goes to America again on behalf of the Agudas Yisrael to raise money. He gives drushas all over the place. They love him so much, they want him to stay. He says, no, I have to go back to Europe. During World War I, he's captured by the Russians. He's put in jail. And in jail, he writes his Chidushim Beis Aaron on Bava Kama. And he writes in his introduction, V'kosle Beis HaAsurim Yochichu, the walls of this jail will promise you, B'sha Shagam Alay Avor Kos HaSral, they were serving me cups of poison, L'yos Yoshev B'kishvui B'tzel Korosam, I was in this jail, Shama Yashavti Negda, and I was sitting with all the people in jail, Rotzchim, Gnavim, murderers, robbers, V'kol Arba Avos Mazikim, all the different types of terrible people were with me in jail, V'kasavdi Eschiburi, I wrote this when I was there. In jail, he wrote his Chidushim that became well-known in the yeshivas. He escapes to Poland, and in 1922, he's appointed the rabbi of the town of Pinsk, Karlin. Well, Pinsk is one town, Karlin is another town. What happened? Well, the two towns of Pinsk and Karlin live side by side. The borders were indistinguishable. And Rav Aaron Walkin was so great, he was known as to be such a Talmud Chacham, both towns wanted him to be the rabbi. However, there was two factions. One faction wants him to be the rabbi because he was so incredible, and the other faction said, no, Pinsk should have their own rabbi, and Karlin should have their own rabbi. He's not so great he could be the rabbi of two big towns. So who went on behalf of those people who wanted not one but two rabbis? The Stipler. The Stipler was learning in Pinsk, and the Stipler went to Rav Chaim Ozer to complain. And Rav Chaim Ozer told the Stipler, Rav Aaron Karlin is enough of a gadol b'Yisrael that he could be the rabbi over Pinsk and Karlin at the same time, and he'll be fine. And that's what happened. The towns of Pinsk, Karlin adopted together to have one Av Beis Din, who was Rav Aaron Walkin. And he begins to write his tshuvos, he becomes more well-known. His tshuvos are quoted all over the place. The Zakan Aron are quoted in laws about matring agunos and kashrus and avelus and all different types of things. His most famous tshuva, though, is a tshuva about a shochet who was known to be housing or visiting homes of ill repute. He was hanging out with prostitutes, and they wanted to remove his hechsher to be a shochet. So this is quoted often when there are discussions about rabbis behaving badly. Should they be removed from their positions? So this is the tshuva that's often quoted. So Aaron Walkin writes, and the letter is to his brother-in-law, who was Rav Zalman Zaratskin, the Oznayim LaTorah. So Rav Aaron Walkin writes to him and says, it's true that it's not appropriate, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a good shochet. It doesn't say anything about his shechita. It doesn't say that he's not a reliable shochet. And then he goes on to make the following point. And this is really his major point, is that if everything is based on rumors, you can't kick somebody out of their position based on rumors. And he says, you have to be very careful. So there's a rumor about somebody doing the wrong thing. You have to verify it and make sure you know it's true. You can't just remove somebody and destroy their livelihood because of rumors. So that's his opinion in regard to that aspect. In 1939... the Soviets and the Germans take over Poland. In 1941, the Germans enter Pinsk specifically. We don't have much knowledge about his activity during that time, towards the end of the war. But we do have two pieces of information. In the Sefer Pinsk, which is the Sefer Zikaron of the people of Pinsk, so this is in Chelek Beis on page Tuf, on page Shin Chaf, on page 320, they tell the following story. The Nazis forbade having weddings. There was no weddings allowed in Pinsk. But Rav Aaron Walkin was not going to stop marrying Jewish couples. So he came up with the following plan. This happened all the time. What they would do is they would have this elaborate plan to get people married. What would happen is the couple would go for a walk around the rabbi's house on his block. And then person by person, over the course of hours throughout the day, starting in the morning till late in the afternoon, the mechutanim would drop by one at a time. And then another neighbor would drop by the rabbi's house one at a time. And took 7 or 8 hours later, there'd be a minyan in Rav Aaron Walkin's house. You'd have enough for the chuppah, for Sheva Brachas. And they would have the chuppah there. The whole thing took hours to make, and the chuppah took minutes, and that was it. And he continued in the face of the Nazis to be Masadar Kedushin, to make sure there'd be Jewish families and Jewish couples, by having these elaborate plans to get people married over hours at a time, one by one, one person dropping it over time, until he had a minyan, and he would marry couples off. And this is recorded as a great praise of the rabbi of Pinsk Karlin. There's a little bit of uncertainty about what happened to him in the middle of the war. His family doesn't exactly know. There's just different machlokas. Either he died of natural causes in the town, or he was led with the entire town of Pinsk Karlin to be murdered together with the Nazis, all happening in the summer of 1942 with the rest of his kehila. And that's the end of the story of the life of Aaron Karlin. So Rav Aaron Karlin had a number of children. But the one we want to discuss right now, for the next 8 minutes or so, is Rav Shmuel Walkin. Sorry, I said Rav Aaron Karlin. That's somebody else. Sorry. Rav Aaron Walkin had a son, Rav Shmuel Walkin. And he was the Av Beis Din of Lukach. And he learned in Mir Slabodka Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. And he, along with Mir, escaped through Shanghai. He eventually made his way to America. He became a rabbi in Crown Heights, eventually settling in Queens, setting up a shul there. He passed away in 1979. So in the Hakadama of the Zakan Aron Chelek Beis, his father's tshuvas that he published, that he saved and published after the war, so Shmuel Walkin has a beautiful introduction. And he notes by discussing the destruction of Europe, his whole life had been destroyed, everything had been lost, and he wonders out loud how Hashem could allow such a thing to happen. And then he begins to discuss the previous parshios. He says that we're told about the naming of Menasseh, the oldest son of Yosef. Vayikra Yosef Hashem HaBechor Menasseh, Ki Nashani Elokim Eskol Amali, that Hashem had made me forget all my troubles, Eskol Beis Avi, and to forget the house of my father. So Shmuel Walken says, it's a strange thing to say. That's what you're praising Hashem for? That I forgot my father's house? Beis Avi saved you. Your father appeared to you before you were going to sin, and the fact that you kept connected to your father's house is what kept you alive. So what does that mean? I'm thanking Hashem that I forgot my father's house. What a strange bracha to say. Nashani Elokim es Beis Avi, I forgot my father's home. What a weird thing to say. We're supposed to keep the avos in front of us at all times. Why would he glorify the fact that he forgot the house of his father, Yaakov? So he says that Yosef had gone from the most respected, powerful family in the world, the house of Yaakov Avinu, he was known throughout the world, to nothing, a slave in Mitzrayim, to literally losing everything. And he thought, that's it. I have no reason to continue. I have no reason to persevere. I have no reason to try to build anymore. I lost everything. I'm down in the dumps. I'm literally at the bottom of the world when I was on top of the world. I have nothing else to achieve. And then when he had his son, he remembered, wait a second. I can rebuild. I can continue. I forgot what happened to Beis Avi. And then when I had this child, Menasseh, I realized I have something more to build. I realized I have something to continue through. I realized I have something to build on, that not everything is lost. And therefore, he wasn't ignoring his family, but he was praising Hashem for lifting him out of the dumps where he felt there was no connection left to his family and restarting again. So we see, obviously, what Shmuel Walken is referring to, that he had this illustrious family, the Walken family. He thought everything was lost, and now he comes to America, and he has time to rebuild. And then he writes that his father, of Aaron Walken, had 10 children. The Walken family had 10 children. And Shmuel Walken is the only one who survived. The entire family was wiped out, except for him. And he's the only one to come to America and to make it through. And he's grateful that he could continue Beis Avi, that Hashem allowed him to rebuild after the war. And then he begins with a Rashi, probably the most famous Rashi in this week's Parsha. And Rashi tells us, Lama Parsha Zeus Sesuma. Why is the Parsha of Vayechi, there's no break in the Torah, why is it closed? Lefi shekevan sheniftar Yaakov Avinu nistemu einehem v'libam shal Yisrael mitzaras hashibud sheschiu l'shavdam. Because when Yaakov Avinu died, their eyes were closed off and their hearts were closed off from the tzaras that were about to happen. That's what Rashi says. It's closed off because the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people were closed off after the death of Yaakov. So the Das Zakenim of the Bali Atosis, Rashi's grandchildren, wonder why this is the beginning of Galus. What do you mean? This isn't the beginning of Galus. Yosef's going to live. Not until all of the Shvatim die does the Shibud begin. So what do you mean this is the beginning of Galus? Slavery wasn't going to be for a number of years. It wasn't going to be for a long time. So how is this? Why are we so sad over here? Yaakov's death doesn't mean anything. Yaakov's death is just one point, but along the way they're going to have a number of good years in Mitzrayim. So why is here now the time of darkness and closing, and we can't see what the future is going to be? So he explains as follows. The answer is found, he says, in the beginning of the Tochacha in Parshas in Sefer Dvarim. Uvo eilecha kol haklalos ha'ela v'hisigucha, that all of these curses will overcome them. He says, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring Yisurim, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring pain and difficulty to the Jewish people, there is no physical escape. If Hashem wants to punish us, there is nothing you can do. You can't run, you can't hide. The tzaros are going to come if that's what Hashem wants to happen. The chachamim, the wise men, the politicians, the askanim, won't be able to see into the future and see what's not going to come with impending danger. They won't realize what slavery is about to come and how bad the gzeros are going to be. Their eyes are going to be closed up and their hearts are going to be closed up. And he says that is the curse. And he says, now we can appreciate Rashi who said, Nistamu einehem v'libam shal Yisrael mitzaras hashibud. It doesn't mean that the Jews didn't see the impending galus. Rather, they didn't even see the impending signs of the impending galus. That is why Parshas Vayechi begins closed. That's why everything is closed and they can't see. The curse, the gzeirah of Yaakov Avinu dying, wasn't that began the galus. It's that began the point where they couldn't see into the future anymore. They couldn't figure out what was going to be. Even though all the signs were there. The Mitzrayim weren't being nice to them. Empire was giving them trouble. And there were laws against the Jews. And things were becoming difficult. If Hashem wants to bring the Gzeiros on Klal Yisrael, says Rav Shmuel Walkin, then it's going to happen no matter what. And the curse is that you can't even see what you can't even see is going to be in the future. So obviously what he's talking about, what he's referring to, is the Holocaust. When there is Gullus and there is darkness, the curse of Gullus is that you can't even see out of it to know that it's coming. You can't even see that the Gullus is still there. And he says that's the curse and the darkness of Gullus. This is the issue over here. And I think this dovetails perfectly into a comment from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe writes in the Darash Moshe, in the Drashos, in the Hespedim, and Drush Aleph. And he says that's the issue of Asar V'Tevis. Why is Asar V'Tevis so bad? Because they didn't get it. There's a siege around Yerushalayim. Do you know what? There have been other sieges around Yerushalayim in the history of the Jewish people. Sancheirav had a siege. Other nations had a siege. So what? The issue is that by this siege, Klal Yisrael didn't see what was going to be in the future. They thought, it'll pass, it'll be fine. Another attack, another war, everything will be okay. But the punishment, the issue of Gullus was there, and says Rav Moshe, is that he didn't even see that that was the end. And that's the issue of Asar B'Teves. To not even realize when things are dark, when things are bad. To not even be aware when there's a problem around you. That is the greatest issue. And he says that's the issue in Parshas Vayechi as well. To not even be aware of what's going to be when the lights go out and things aren't clear. So Hashem should give us a bracha. Hashem should give us mazel. We should be able to see what's going to be in the future. To know when there's going to be impending danger. And to take us out of this palace.